Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
I'm Curtis Siebel. The Chiefs all but locked up the AFC West last week. This week, they can clinch it and perhaps find some mojo to use come January. Chiefs and Patriots Sunday at 3:25 in Foxborough. KC with a thin backfield brought back an old friend this week. Spencer Ware returns wearing a new number, 39, but with the same skills. Andy Reid says Ware got right back on the horse.
Spencer's real smart, so the retention part of it wasn't really a big deal. He was picked up right where he left off. It's just a matter of getting the legs going and getting back into the swing of things. But you look good.
Damian Williams, Mo Claiborne, Rashad Fenton listed as out. Frank Clark and Jordan Lucas missed today's practice with illness. Adam Teicher today at 4:30. Pac-12 title game on 8:10 tonight. Utah and Oregon at 7. Big 12 title game tomorrow. Oklahoma and Baylor, 11 a.m. I'm Curtis Siebel. This is SportsCenter. And now, ready to talk about
the Big 12,
Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are off and running, broadcasting live on the road at one of the great spots. Great partner of Sports Radio 810 WHB, the folks here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. So many great, great items here. If you've never been here, you need to get here. Just get off of I-35 at 87th Street. You can get off of 69. At 87th Street and pop over the outer road. We're just north of 87th on the outer road, which is on the now I get turned around when I come down around in here on where the highway is. But we're just on the west side. That's 35 right in front of me, right? 99.9% sure, yeah. Just on the west side, a great spot to come to. If you want to GPS it, just GPS 8500 Marshall Drive and take advantage of some unbelievable deals. Listen, the holidays are here, and they have great, great savings for you here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet for a whole huge range of products, $40 Bushnell telescopes, $50 golf GPS, $100 night vision, electronic coyote calls starting at $25, $30 trail cameras, discount on hunting and golf range finders, $25 extra wide angle binoculars. Perfect. The extra wides are absolutely mandatory if you're going to a game and you want to check everything out. The extra wide angle binoculars for just $25, 50% off on range bags, rifle cases for $15, Blackhawk gloves for $10, boots for $30, and there are representatives from GA Precision and CZ USA, as well as Applied Ballistics here. So come on down. I also believe we're going to be giving away a pair of Chiefs tickets coming up a little bit later on. So that is going to happen. So stay tuned for that. A couple of tickets to lower level to see the Chiefs and Chargers. We'll get you signed up. Okay, yes. We'll get you signed up. I was just looking. Just realized I was looking around. I'm like, you know what I hadn't noticed? The box. But we have the box. So we'll get you signed up to win a pair of Chiefs tickets. Also got some Jayhawk tickets for a Big 12 game coming up. We do not know which game yet. It's going to be a Big 12 opponent for the Kansas Jayhawks coming up. And then we've also got a Nitro 1800 rangefinder powered with Applied Ballistics technology. So take advantage of it. They've got some great Bushnell T-shirts. If you want to stop by and grab yourself a good-looking T-shirt, you can do that as well. And then, of course, shop the shop. The Bushnell Factory Outlet has so many great, great items. So many people on your holiday list that you can check off just by coming here to the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Again, 8500 Marshall Drive if you're going to GPS it. I'm a GPSer. I hope you are. It's a great technology. It works really well. You can find them online at Bushnell, B-U-S-H-N-E-L-L, factoryoutlet.com, and it is one of the coolest stores you're going to find anywhere. So come see us right here in Lenexa. We will be here all the way up until 6 o'clock, and you could win Chiefs tickets, you could win Jayhawk tickets, and you could win that Nitro 1800 rangefinder with the Applied Ballistics technology in it. It is a great, great item for you, but so many great things. So come on down and check it out. I will be looking at a telescope, as we've got a youngster who loves to look at the stars. So I will be checking out the telescopes here in a little bit. We'd love to see you here. So come see us. Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. Like I said, it's just the outer road. Basically, hop off at 87th. Best way to do it, if you're not familiar with the area, but you should really get here. Again, rifle scopes, binoculars, telescopes, just everything that goes along with that. There are so many different things here that you can find that you are going to be really, really impressed with. I think you should just GPS it. Easiest way to make sure you come right in. 8500 Marshall Drive here in Lenexa. And there have been a ton of people coming through, but they've still got a ton of inventory. They gear up for this every year. They know you're going to be out buying for the holidays, so they always make sure that they've got plenty of product for you. So even though there have been a ton of people here, in fact, I think at one point all three registers had eight folks deep as the lunch rush was in the midst of going on, and everybody trying to get through here on their lunch rush. So you have a great opportunity right now to get here, as I can tell you that they're only one deep on two registers. A lot of people shopping, but not buying right now. So it's a great time to come in here and get some great items, whether it's for you or somebody on your list. The Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. We got a lot coming your way today here in the program. Jeremy Crabtree will be with us from 810 Varsity. That's right, young man. He's going to be with us. Coming up a little bit later on, Bob Glauber from New York Newsday. I don't think he got it, by the way, when I said that. The Chiefs sign is back there. Okay, let's make sure. Make sure, yeah, there you go. Okay, Rudy's going to take care of that. Bob Glauber coming up at 3 o'clock, two-minute drill. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Kevin Harlan will be with us at 5 o'clock. I did not mean to skip over Adam Teicher, who will be with us at 4:30 today. So we've got a lot to get to. And a lot of pro football talk there, obviously, with Bob Glauber. We're going to talk recruiting and the Missouri coaching change with Jeremy Crabtree, a little bit about the state championships. As they continue on the Missouri side, not super successful on the Missouri side this year, but we'll recap a little bit about the Kansas side, but also talk about where we are recruiting-wise for KU, K-State, and Missouri in the coach search for the Tigers with Jeremy Crabtree. But then NFL football with Bob Glauber, Chiefs football with Teicher, NFL football and a lot of Chiefs with Kevin Harlan as well. So let's talk a little bit of college football, because we do have the conference championship games going on this weekend. Oklahoma, 9-point favorite over Baylor. Curtis Siebelt and Josh Byers running the operation. Jed Marshall's final day of vacation ever that he will ever get. It's today, because Byers has inspired us to make sure that he has no vacation. Right, Josh?
Disagree.
man of few words, this Josh of ours. No, I think we'll see you again. Trust me, I do. Yeah. But we have a lot of NFL football. So let's talk the college football, and what is at stake, Curtis, Josh, for Baylor, for Oklahoma. Oklahoma 9-point favorite in this. Beyond the obvious, well, Oklahoma and Baylor are trying to get into the national championship playoffs. Mm-hmm. Well, I get that part. I understand that part's at stake. But after this game, what are we going to say? If Oklahoma wins, which they do, what did Lebo tell us? 13 championships for the Oklahoma Sooners. 13 of 20 since they started. What was the 13 of 20 championship games?
Yeah.
There's a few more where they weren't playing the championship games, but right. 13 of 20 championship games. Have featured Oklahoma, right? Or have been won by Oklahoma?
Let me see. Actually, it's 11 appearances, 9 wins.
And championship games.
Yeah.
Then it's 13 championships, I think, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Yep.
Since the Big 12 came around. So Oklahoma's been, without a doubt, the dominant force in this league. What's at stake in this game between Oklahoma and Baylor?
For Oklahoma, I think it's the opportunity to strike one more chord of, we're on the mountain. Texas tried last year. TCU tried the year before. Nebraska tried. They left. Missouri tried. They're gone. Everyone's tried to knock us off this perch. And Baylor, that's fantastic. He had a wonderful season. But we own this conference. To me, that's what's at stake is keeping that up for them. And just, again, hammering home that this is OU and a bunch of other teams. for Baylor, it's the kind of the flip side of that. They've had a marvelous, magical season, but at this point, some teams have kind of taken, people have taken shots at maybe who they've played or whatever. The fact that they kind of came out of nowhere, this would be an opportunity to say, hey, the fact that we were up big on these guys at our home field wasn't a fluke. Yes, they came back and lost that, and we lost that game. But this is an opportunity to put that behind them, put the worst moment of their season behind them, and hold the crown and say, this isn't just you anymore. We're now here, and we're not going away. So I think that's – it's kind of two sides of the same coin, but it, to me, it's all about the fact that one team has owned this conference for a long time, and this is one team that has a chance to knock them off. The last team to knock Oklahoma off in a championship game was K-State in 2003. This is a chance for someone else to end that run.
Josh, you got anything? Yeah. Anything more at stake?
I think what's at stake is the college football playoff. You know, I think that Utah has a good chance of falling to an inspired Oregon team, and you know, Baylor's played great all year besides that one skerfuffle against Oklahoma, and I think they have a really good chance of beating Oklahoma. I like the backfield of Lovett. I like Jermichael Hasty, Denzel Mims, Tyquan Thornton, you know, great weapons. And then on the flip side with Oklahoma, you've got the legs of Jalen Hurts and, of course, CeeDee Lamb, the freshman, Charvarius Rambo, or his first name is interesting. Charleston Rambo. But it's going to be a good matchup, but that's what's at stake is, I think, the college football playoff.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, we mentioned. That's the part that's obviously out there, but for the league in beyond it, where are things going? And I'll tell you what, Curtis, I think you're right. I think it's just same old, same old. Oklahoma has a chance to continue their stranglehold on this league. And it's not, to quote Lebo, it's not quite Kansas basketball, but it's not far from it. For as much talk as we give the way KU dominated the league, Oklahoma has been almost as dominant on the football side of things. And I think if you're Oklahoma, you don't want to give anybody a chance to get a foothold. And I think that's what this would be for Baylor. Certainly it'd be a great upset on the season, and a big upset in this game. They're a 9-point dog. But for the season, for Baylor to come from where the expectations were for them, the over-under on wins, I can't remember if it was 6.5 or 7.5. I think it was 7. Well, I'll look it up. I got my thing here. I think it was 7.5. But for them to come from completely off the radar screen to all the way up to taking down Oklahoma, I think would be a great statement. But, again, it's just a foothold because I don't think you can say, well, Baylor's now the power. You got to back it up and do it again and then do it again and then do it again. I mean, that's the part of, you know, Oklahoma's done that. And so, for me, I think if you're Oklahoma – you know, you're just, you know, king of the mountain throwing people off the hill as they come up to the top, and that's what this is. I think there's not really – I don't want to say there's not much at stake because being the top dog in this league means, to me, Oklahoma still gets first choice on recruits that aren't lifelong grown-up UT fans, right? I think that still becomes where, you know, they are – and they want to stay there in that pecking order. By the way, it's 7.5, so Baylor – was the win total on it. And I think for Baylor, though, it is a chance to rise up and stand toe-to-toe. But I think the more intriguing part might be what's going on with the coaches in Lincoln Riley and in Matt Rhule. You know, we're going to talk with Ari Temkin a little bit later on from the 105.3 The Zone and in Dallas and also Big 12 radio on Sirius. And I was talking with him earlier this morning, and we said, so, well, listen, what do you think? What's going on with the Cowboys? And he said, well, Jason Garrett's done. I mean, and we'll talk about this. Maybe we'll get to the Cowboys here in our next segment as their dismal showing continues. But he said, you know, the Jason Garrett era is over. He's going to have to make the move. Even a 7-9 or 8-8 division title is not going to be good enough for him to keep his job. That Jerry Jones is going to move on and that he has supposedly already been moving on. And when the Panthers made the statement that they had to make their move on Rivera, it was because they had to get out and start hiring, and I think it's because everyone's looking at the college coaches. He said it's Lincoln Riley's job, one, if he wants it, and then two, if he doesn't, they're going to go to Urban Meyer. And I thought that was pretty interesting, and we'll talk more about it with Ari coming up a little bit later on. But, you know, Lincoln Riley is what? If that's the case, you win and you've done everything you can, you win and you get into the playoffs, and then perhaps win a national championship. That'd be the ultimate dream, I'm sure. Win the championship, and then you move on to the pros. You've accomplished everything you want to accomplish, and you head off to the pros. And Matt Rhule's been interviewed by NFL teams the last year. And so I think, you know, we may be watching the two guys who compete in this. That, to me, is part of what's at stake, is both these programs may be looking for a new coach. So you better cash while you've got the guy in place that you know can get it done. Because who's the next guy for either one of these schools that you know will have them in a conference championship game next year?
Well, the Baylor, this is their first appearance, so the answer to that question is nobody. I mean, Oklahoma might say, well, whoever we put in there is going to be the guy because it's up and running. But I don't think that's – we've all seen the past. Even in Oklahoma has shown that that's not the case. So, yeah, I hadn't actually considered the fact that both of these guys could be – in at least one of them, or maybe both, could be in different positions very, very, very shortly. So that is intriguing.
I mean, we literally could be watching the last game, you know, for both of these guys. Because if it's just a bowl game and it's not the Final Four, either one of these guys, and I don't, and, you know, listen, I don't think Matt Rhule is going to get hired before the season's over, but I could see the Cowboys looking to make a run at the at Lincoln Riley before they even get the season over, and saying, listen, we got to make a statement. We're cutting Jason Garrett, and that's it. We're going to Lincoln Riley, and so, you know, I do think that's a dynamic that's in place here that people may not be thinking about, is the fact that we could be watching the swan song for both these guys. So two teams, Oklahoma, who owns the league, who had a ready made, and when was it, in like summertime, wasn't it? Or was it like May or June? I think it was June when the transition came from Bob Stoops to Lincoln Riley. There was no choice. There was no coach search. It was just happening. That's it. It's done. And it's worked seamlessly for them. Now, to have to turn around and perhaps be making a coaching search while fighting other programs and being late to the party when you consider all the other schools that are out there, this is one that if you're Oklahoma, you want to win this. You definitely want to get in the playoffs and go as far as you can with Lincoln Riley, because by what I'm hearing down in Dallas, there's a good chance that he's the Cowboys coach here by the time we get to the new year. So I think there's a lot at stake, and I think both the fans of both these schools better enjoy it. I don't have any rumors on Matt Rhule. I just know that if NFL teams are looking at him last year, then if you're Florida State and you're not thinking about Matt Rhule, you're not doing your due diligence. And if NFL teams thought Matt Rhule was pretty good coming off a 6 or 7 win season last year in his second year at Baylor, then they're going to be all over him in what could be a 12-win season and perhaps even a playoff run for them. So I think there's a ton at stake in this game. And I don't know who you root for. I don't really care either way. I don't mind dominance. If Oklahoma's going to keep winning, I know most people would probably say, we'd like to see somebody else win it. That's fine. You know, I'll say this, from Missouri fans, they're probably wondering why Mac Rhodes was able to find Matt Rhule at Baylor, but couldn't find him at Missouri when he bumped up Barry Odom. We've talked a lot about how difficult the times were there and how much of a contract had to be given to Jim Sterk, or how much of a contract Jim Sterk gave to Conzo Martin, that it was a tough time to be hiring a coach, and maybe Barry Odom was really their only choice at that time because nobody was going to touch the job. But still, this is a guy that the former AD at Missouri, who was really laughed out of Columbia, went down and got. And while he had great success at Temple, I don't think anybody was like, well, this is a no-brainer home run hire. There's no way this doesn't succeed. And now here we sit just 3 years later, and he's going toe-to-toe with Lincoln Riley. It's really two of the hottest coaches in college football that are going to go up against each other in this game. We'll take a break, come back. I'm going to talk about the SEC game, LSU -7 against Georgia. What's at stake in that one beyond just making the college football playoffs, which is something that LSU may be able to lose and still back into it. Georgia certainly needs a win. But beyond that, what's at stake? We'll do that next here in the program. We're live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. You can take advantage of great deals. Rifle cases for $15. $25 for the extra wide-angle binoculars. Perfect for taking out to the game. It's what I take to the game. I've actually got two pairs, one I keep in my car and one I got at my house. So anytime I'm out at the ballpark, my extra wide binoculars go with me. $30 trail cameras, electronic coyote calls starting at $25. $100 night vision, $50 golf GPS, $40 telescopes from Bushnell. All kinds of great specials all over the store. It's at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. That's basically 87th Street. Here by the I-35 and 69 interchange, just GPS it, 8500 Marshall Drive. All of the lights. Hi, you're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. It is their big giant holiday sale. They've got all kinds of things, clearance prices, discounts, 60-80% off on some items, all kinds of great things like the telescopes, $40 for the Bushnell telescopes, golf GPS, $50, night vision, $100. I got the representatives from GA Precision, CZ USA, and Applied Ballistics here, registering people to win the Nitro 1800 rangefinder powered by Applied Ballistics technology. Also registering folks for two Chiefs tickets, eighth row lower level for the Chiefs and Chargers, and the Jayhawk game. It's KUTCU on March 4th. That's actually a really good game. Jamie Dixon coming into Allen Fieldhouse. You could be winning those tickets as well. So come on out to get some holiday shopping done here. All kinds of great items for so many different people on your list here at a great, great KC company, Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive. Yes, they outfit and supply people all over the country, even all over the world, but based right here in Kansas City. So great KC company and their outlet store, an opportunity for you to shop and check out all the great items. It's 8500 Marshall Drive here in Lenexa. Talking some college football to get things started. We'll get to Jeremy Crabtree here in a little bit. But what's at stake in the SEC championship game? LSU, a 7-point favorite over Georgia. I'll go first on this one. Number one, I think what's at stake is Kirby Smart not suddenly being the new Mark Richt. I mean, Georgia fans think that they are Alabama, think that they should be winning championships. I don't think they should be winning them at the frequency that Alabama has, but they've won a national championship before. They've had three Heisman Trophy winners. There is a great tradition, a rich tradition of college football with the Georgia Bulldogs. And I do think that they provide the coach everything they need to be at an Alabama-like level in terms of facilities, fan support, recruiting hotbed for their area. I think there's everything you could want to be a national championship program there, and I think Smart needs to cash on it. You know, one of the themes I've had this week is talking about, you know, Andy Reid needing to get a win and even that markup a little bit against Bill Belichick, but Patrick Mahomes needing to check the box, I beat Tom Brady. Particularly after Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson have done it. I think that's one of the things you want to hear. Not so much, and I'll talk more about this with Kevin Harlan later, but I just think that's going to be the national narrative you hear on Sunday night ESPN, on the Monday night football broadcast, getting ready for the Monday night game. If the Chiefs don't beat the Patriots, it'll be, well, you know, Mahomes is now 0-3 against Bill Belichick. Well, you know, Smart needs to get this win and get the national championship. To get that, he can't win the big game off his back. He's been to one playoffs. I think just getting to a second playoffs would go a long way towards at least holding his own fan base at bay. But Georgia, too, is starting to have a bit of a vice-like grip on the SEC East. But I think now you want to prove that you can be an SEC champion, which they've done once, but that wasn't a fluke, that the power doesn't just ride with Alabama or whoever knocks off Alabama that one year, that Georgia's a little legitimate contender and the equal to any program in the SEC. That's what I think is at stake for Georgia. For Ed Orgeron, and maybe I'm naive and not giving enough credit to him, but while we all love his delivery and his cadence and the way he talks, it's a lot of fun to watch. Most people think this is a great story and just kind of a magical run. And how many people here think that there will be multiple national championships for Ed Orgeron? Not hearing anyone.
Yeah, that's. I'm trying to be as artfully silent as possible.
Right. I think he's long been considered a tremendous defensive line coach and a great recruiter. But his time at Ole Miss didn't go that well. He got fired, ultimately, at Ole Miss. Got passed over at USC after he did a great job as the interim for the guy that now every is it Helfrich? What's his name at USC?
Clay Helton.
Clay Helton. Helton passed over at Orgeron for Clay Helton. Orgeron was on the staff, worked as the interim after Lane Kiffin was let go, and by all accounts did a great job. And they passed him over for Clay Helton, a guy that now seemingly everybody at USC wants to run out. And so Ed Orgeron is a guy that has always kind of been a bridesmaid, always kind of been second fiddle. And so now here he sits with an opportunity where the 12-0 part's done. And so you can talk about, well, we can win another national championship. Well, we just got to go 12-0 again. Well, that's hard to do. That's already done. Here he sits with a potential Heisman, or I think the Heisman favorite at quarterback, a likely number one overall pick at quarterback. When's the next time you're going to have that at LSU? I mean, think of any school that you would consider quarterback you. Purdue's had a lot of great quarterbacks. They've never had one go number one overall, right? So you've got a guy who is the consensus number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, and you're already undefeated and you're here. You need to beat a Georgia team that's offensively challenged. LSU fans with a seven-point line expect you to win this game, so you don't want to blow it and be known as, again, the guy who lost the big game. You know, the big game is always the one that's next in front of you. It's never the big win against Alabama. It's always the next game. And he would silence all that, go on into the playoffs, be the number one seed, I believe, in the playoffs. If he beats Georgia, I think that's going to put LSU in front of Ohio State for the one seed in the playoffs and have a great chance. And I think that one seed's important because it means you don't have to face Ohio State or Clemson or LSU. LSU, of course, being themselves. But the other two, whoever it is, that's 2 and 3, are going to have to go up against each other and then take down the one seed in all likelihood. And I think most people would consider Oklahoma or Baylor or Utah to be a lesser opponent in that first game. And so you win the right for that as well. So this is Ed Orgeron, I will say, not only his best chance, obviously, in his career to win a national championship, but I'll say his last best chance and maybe what ends up being his last chance to win a national championship. That's what I think's at stake for the SEC. Curtis?
Yeah, for LSU as a program, I mean, if they win it, which they'll have to win tomorrow, I think, to do that, clearly. It would be a third championship in 12 or 13, or no, in less than 20 years with three different coaches. I'm not sure what the value is, but to prove, well, it wasn't just one guy, maybe a second guy. They will now then won three national titles under three different coaches, so maybe that has something of value. For Georgia, I think it would be ultimately if they could beat Alabama in this game and move on. But the fact that, okay, last year they lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. The year before they won the SEC championship game, but it wasn't against Alabama, and then they lost Alabama in the national title game. So there still isn't, as you talked about, you know, proving that Kirby Smart isn't Mark Richt. This is an opportunity to beat the best team in the conference and maybe stake some claim to being an SEC elite. Because if they lose this game, then it's like, okay, you couldn't beat Alabama. Now you couldn't beat the LSU team. Are you ever going to take that next step? But this, I think ideally they'd be knocking off Nick Saban in this thing, but he's not there. But they beat the team, maybe that beat Nick Saban. This is the undisputed champion of the SEC right now, undefeated, all the things we've talked about. Maybe an opportunity to flex our muscles at least and say we belong to be in this discussion. Because if they come out tomorrow and get beat by 17 points, then I think it's like, okay, this you had a nice little run there, but what's to make us expect that you're going to ever get over that hump? They can get over that hump tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's big. Josh, you got anything to add?
The phone just rang.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. We'll take a break. We need to get to Jeremy Crabtree. Anyway,
yeah,
a lot to talk to with Jeremy Crabtree from 810varsity.com. We'll do that next during the program. I'm live at Bushnell. The Bushnell Factory Outlet, their big sale is going on right now. You can save on things like Blackhawk gloves for $10, boots for $30, rifle cases $15, 50% off range bags. Get the extra wide-angle binoculars like I use when I'm out at the stadium for just $25. Right now, they've got great discounts on hunting and golf range finders. It's at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive. You can look them up online at BushnellFactoryOutlet.com.
He's worked under the Friday night lights for 20 years.
I ask if you think we can get the job done.
think so.
Well, you're going to have to do better than I think so.
From Excelsior Springs to Bonner Springs, from Liberty North to Olathe South, no one knows high school football the way he does.
Because of nothing! This is our team! This is us! Let's go right now!
He's our high school football and college recruiting expert, Jeremy Crabtree.
Can you live in that moment as best you can with clear eyes and love in your heart? If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
On the program.
Yes, indeed. It is the program here on Sports Radio, 810 WHP. Soren Petro with you as we are live at a great Kansas City location, the Bushnell Factory Outlet, where you can save $40, save, well, tons of money on things like Bushnell telescopes for just $40. These prices only happen once a year. Come take advantage of it. $50 golf GPS, $100 night vision, $30 trail cameras. And I'll tell you what, they've got the representatives from GA Precision, CZ USA, and Applied Ballistics here and talking to folks. You've got questions, they've got answers. Come see them today. And we're registering people to win tickets to KUTCU on March 4th, Chiefs tickets for the Charger game, 8th row lower level tickets, so take advantage of that right now. You can register for that. And a Nitro 1800 rangefinder powered with Applied Ballistics technology, registering to win for all those great items right here. So stop on by and say hello. 8500 Marshall Drive. If you're going to GPS it, it's basically 87th and I-35. Come see us here today. Let's talk to Jeremy Crabtree. He joins us here on the program. Jeremy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, sir. And how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Let's start real quick looking back at Mill Valley and how they won a championship. What do we owe the success and how far they've been able to take this program, going through Aquinas and getting a state championship? I think I might have said national championship, a state championship here for Mill Valley. That is one hell of a season for that school.
No question. Joel Appleby's one of the best coaches in the Kansas City metro area, one of the best coaches in the state of Kansas, and he's proven it once again. And he'll tell you this, that this group maybe isn't his most talented group that he had. He had a state title team in 2015 that went 12-1, but this team was just so resilient, and they ended up knocking out three undefeated teams on their run to the state championship. Don't forget they beat DeSoto also, who was previously undefeated, and then beating Wichita Northwest in the state championship game was impressive. So this is just a resilient bunch, and they've got one of the best quarterbacks around in Cooper Marsh. So they're, and he's just an underclassman, a junior, will be back next year. So I think the Jaguars may be back again.
Yeah, are they? Is this a changing of the guard? I mean, not in the sense that Aquinas is going away, but you know, it looked like Aquinas was going to just become this dominant force that nobody could touch. And Mill Valley did a great job of saying, no, wait a minute, we're still here. What do you think the dynamics are moving forward into Class 5?
Well, I think it's still those two teams. It's still Aquinas. As long as you have Tank Young around, don't forget he will be back again next year, the star running back that is going to be a recruit that everybody in the region is going to recruit. So as long as he's around, and the coaching staff stays intact there at Aquinas, everybody anticipates it will be, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they just do such a good job at developing talent. But I think as what we've seen with Mill Valley, they're not going anywhere either, and they've got a really good group of young kids that Joel Appleby and that coaching staff is excited about. So 5A to me is Mill Valley and Aquinas once again.
I'm sorry to the folks at Miege, but it's just kind of boring, right, that they win again? Is there even anything, you know, John Holmes and his staff do a great, great job. And yeah. I know Coach Holmes, he's a fantastic coach. You know, they're yeah, what do you say? They just own that, Class 4 division, right?
Yeah, no, and to me, I think you can make a legitimate argument that they are the top team in the city, regardless of classes. I know we still have another week of football before the final polls, the final H10 varsity top 25 comes out. And there has been some debate as to who is the top team in the city. Is it Miege, even though they did lose to Aquinas, but they did beat Mill Valley, who won the state championship. So there's some real interesting discussion going on. But you're right, they are the classic Class 4. And John Holmes has just built a juggernaut that is destroying anybody that they face in that division. And we've had this discussion before, sir, and you know that they would love to get an opportunity to play up in Class 5.
Yeah, and we'll see if they ever get that opportunity.
So it's going to be fun to see what happens.
Absolutely. What do you expect to happen between Platte County and Webb City in Missouri?
Well, Webb City, again, is probably the overwhelming favorite because of their Webb City, and they've been there and done this before. But don't forget, Platte City in 2017 kept that semifinal matchup a few years ago really close. So I know everybody's counting on Webb City to be the big favorite and should win this game, but don't overlook this group of Pirates. They remind me a lot of Mill Valley. They're a very resilient group.
We're talking to Jeremy Crabtree from 810varsity.com, or, of course, you can get all your high school information. That's 810varsity.com. Barry Odom out at Missouri and now looking for a coach. First of all, how much, you know, in the final days of Barry Odom, I started getting some texts from some people saying, hey, he's not recruiting St. Louis. He's not getting it done. It's not just the dismal finish to this season, barring the Arkansas win. It's the fact that he's not making inroads. He's losing ground all over the state of Missouri. Is that accurate?
Yes and no. that's the easy answer. I mean, yeah, there was plenty of kids in this 2020 class, and then in next year's class, 2021, they're in the St. Louis area that didn't have Missouri on as high on their list as many anticipated them to do. But there's also there were a lot of St. Louis kids that were part of this class too. So I see kind of both sides. I mean, this was a special group here that we've had in 2019, 2020, and then again in next year's 2021 class. There's some really good players that are program difference-making type players that aren't going to end up at Missouri for one reason or another, and you can make the argument it's because Barry Odom and his staff weren't just getting it done.
Jason Anderson had a stat. It was something to the tune of the fact that, I want to say it was just below or maybe just above, 50%. That'll teach me to take a drink of water when you're talking, by the way. Nice move. Real smooth here. I can't remember what his numbers were. I think he was like something 23 of 45 of the 4- and 5-star kids in the state of Missouri went to Mizzou under Gary Pinkel. And if you know the stat, jump in and correct me on it. Okay. And then, but under Barry Odom, they'd only gotten 3 of 17. So is it that he can't get the top-end talent the way? And nobody gets all of it, but Gary Pinkel clearly got more of it. Is that ultimately what led to his downfall?
Well, I think to me it's just the struggles on the field. But you got to have the talent to win on the field. And missing out on some of those local players certainly was a factor, is a factor in this whole dynamic. But keep in mind, and this is just me looking from the outside in, St. Louis became so over-recruited. I was talking with the college coach about this earlier this week, that St. Louis has become so over-recruited that it is tough for any program, let alone the in-state school, to come in there and get all of those types of players. It's making sure whoever the next coach is to get the right players, the difference makers, the skill position guys. You hate looking down the road and seeing that an Ezekiel Elliott ended up at Ohio State. You don't want to let those types of players, the difference makers at skill position, get away. And then you got to come back and make Kansas City a priority. We're seeing Les Miles. We're seeing Chris Klieman. They've made Kansas City a priority. They're recruiting the preferred walk-on. That's something that this new coach, whoever it is going to have to make it a priority to focus not just on St. Louis, but, hey, let's come and focus hard in Kansas City too.
What stands out at you? We're talking to Jeremy Crabtree here in the program. He's on our Sprint guest line. What stands out to you recruiting-wise? Who are the great recruiters that you're hearing the names, at least of the names that you're hearing being talked about for Mizzou?
I know this is Coach Norvell in Memphis makes sense, but obviously it sounds like that ship might have already sailed because of him looking at Florida State and all those other things. I mean, the Brian Harsin fascinates the heck out of me. I think he could be a great recruiting fit because he's recruited all over the country. I know he would like to prefer to stay out west. He fascinates me a little bit. But, Blake Anderson, also at Arkansas State, would also make sense because of all the ties that he's recruited in this region, but also in the southeast part of the country. Now, will they get any of those three guys? That's based on what you see here, or what you're reading now from everybody, it doesn't sound likely. But those would be my best. Just if you're talking from a pure recruiting standpoint, those would be the guys that I would think would be the best fit at the University of Missouri.
What is the word amongst the recruits, the class that's in place? I mean, whoever comes in is going to obviously have to re-recruit all those kids.
Yep.
But is there, first of all, any news out there? Are you hearing any names as far as who's the front runner? We heard the story yesterday about the list that was apparently brought back and quickly dismissed by the board. What are you hearing?
Well, I think maybe other than Anderson, you know, it was Munkin, and it was Skip Holt or who else? I'm sorry, but none of those guys.
No, you got that's it. Anderson at Arkansas State, Munkin. At Army, and Skip Holtz down at Louisiana Tech.
I mean, Anderson may be the only one that would really excite a whole lot of people. I mean, Willie Fritz, it fascinates me, too. I know we probably could talk an hour about him and his connections from his days at Central Missouri, and I think he would be, if he ends up becoming the guy, I think he would be able to come in and do a nice job also if you're throwing him into that first group of being able to recruit well at Missouri. But the recruits right now are just in limbo, and the assistant coaches are doing whatever they can to kind of keep these guys at bay. They're talking, saying, "Hey, just hang on. A new guy is doing this." And a lot of these assistant coaches are potentially recruiting these guys to save their butts when the new coach comes in and say, "Hey, I've got this guy committed still. If you keep me on staff, he will stay too." So that's something. There's just a lot of dynamics and confusion going on, and these prospects are getting pulled a lot of different directions. And don't forget that midterm signing days on the 18th, so we're running out of time. So Missouri's doing this against a ticking clock.
Yeah, they do need to move quickly. I mean, and you know, the phrase I heard was they need to win the press conference. Well, I haven't heard many names that are going to actually win the press conference for the Tigers. So it's really interesting what's going on right now. Scary, stressful for Tiger fans, absolutely. All right, tell me, what are you hearing as far as the latest goes on KU and K-State and their recruiting classes, as Les Miles has got visits, even though he's got almost a full class already?
Well, KU, the speculation is that they're looking at a lot of potential transfer quarterbacks, the guys that could they're popping up in the transfer portal that could end up being names. I mean, a name that everybody likes to talk about is Felipe Franks, a guy that Les Miles did recruit. One, he was at LSU, the former Florida quarterback, so keep an eye on him. And K-State is all about just continuing to add defensive back help and maybe adding some defensive linemen down the stretch here.
How much does that 8-win season help the Cats?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, they're going back out on the road and taking second cracks at guys that, to be honest, kind of said, "Well, we're going to wait and see a little bit what happened." And now that they can go back and they have to and sell them, "Hey, look at what we've done. The proof's on the field. We've won 8 games. We probably could have had a chance to win 9, maybe even 10 if things had gone well for them." So there's a lot of excitement around K-State, and they are taking some second cracks at guys, and it's going to be interesting to see if those second cracks produce some decommitments from other schools.
All right, Jeremy, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again soon as we get closer to signing day.
All right, take care, Sir Ed.
All right, he's absolutely the best, Jeremy Crabtree. 810varsity.com. You can check out all the great coverage of the high school sports at 810varsity.com. Jeremy Crabtree, the best. Yeah, he's talking about St. Louis and Missouri recruiting St. Louis. The only thing that I would, you know, maybe somewhat disagree, like if I were a Missouri fan, I don't mind when I lose to Ohio State. I mind when I lose to a school that I think looks like my school. And I think those are the Missouri kids you can't lose. Yeah, you want to nail some of those home runs. You want to get the Jeremy Macklins and so on and so forth that are homegrown. But, I mean, to me, he lost too many times on guys to schools that look just like them.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, NFL, who was the first head coach to win a division without having a winning record? Brought to you by Good Sense.